We're continuing in our series. We started last week a series called Lessons from the Kings, and we're looking at kings of Israel and Judah who don't have the names like David, like Solomon, like Saul, but they are kings that can teach us some lessons, mostly lessons of don't do it like this, don't do what I did. Last week, we talked about getting good counsel. And this week, we're going to talk about influencing others. Now, when we think of influencing others, I'm sure you all can picture in your mind somebody who likes to take advantage of situations. He likes to influence others, or she may like to influence others to get what they want. You know of anybody like that? Know of anybody like that at all? Well, the man we're going to read about today, the king we're going to read about today, is a guy who did that very thing. He took advantage of a situation for his benefit. That king's name was Jeroboam. We talked a little bit about him last week. He's a man who desperately wanted power, and he ended up taking rule over Israel. And we're going to read about one of the things he did to make sure he could hold on to his position. If you want to turn in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to read verses 25 through 33 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. And let's read together part of Jeroboam's story. It says here, "Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built up Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, 'The kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David if these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. They will again give their allegiance to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam.' After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One he set up in Bethel, and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people went even as far as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. He instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. And at Bethel, he also installed priests at the high places he had made. On the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Bethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings.'" This is a time when Israel and Judah had separated. Rehoboam, as we read last week, made a stupid, dumb decision. He decided to not listen to the counsel of the people who had served under Solomon, who had all this wisdom, gave him great advice, and he instead listened to his peers. Listened to people who were maybe looking to take advantage of the situation. And so Rehoboam messed up and the country split. And so Jeroboam decided, "I'm going to take advantage of this." Kingship had slipped through his hands before, but now he had his opportunity. And he had definitely become a man of influence. Influence has such power. We see it every day. Every time you turn on the television, what do we see in between? What do we see during television shows? Commercials. And who are on these commercials? Usually people we've heard of. Baseball players, football players, basketball players. We see movie stars now doing more and more commercials. Of course, I always thought when actors started doing commercials, their career was probably over with and nobody was watching them anymore. But you especially see it with athletes. You see Trevor Bauer from the Indians do a commercial, for those of you who are Indians fans. Then you're going to think, I maybe should check that out. It's amazing what influence some people have. Because let me tell you, we all can influence others. You may not think you can, but we all have a circle of influence with other people around us. And we must be very careful not to take advantage of those situations. We must be very careful how we use our influence. King Jeroboam, he didn't care about God. He didn't care in the least. You know what he was worried about? Who he was worried about? King Jeroboam. That's all he was worried about. He wanted to make sure his kingship was fortified. So he even went to the point of deceiving the people of Israel into thinking what they were worshiping was okay. He was convincing them that it's just like what's over in Judah. It's just fine. It's the same thing. He made everything similar, but not the same. He used his influence to convince the people to do this. And you know, the nation of Israel, it didn't take a lot to ever convince them to go the wrong way. Just check out the book of Judges for that. They turned in a heartbeat. But his actions, because of his lack of care for others and his only desire was to take care of himself, he hurt others in this process. How many people did he deceive in the following a false god? And that's my first point this morning. How do we influence others? How do we influence others? Our actions make a huge difference in people's lives. And we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. How are we going to live? How are we going to live? How is our influence going to work? Paul wrote these words in Ephesians 2 when he said, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." We are to shine as lights. Some translations say shine as stars. Shine like stars. We are to be influencers for God. Because remember, our actions affect more than us. We got this notion that it just seems to be in culture that when we do things, it doesn't matter to anybody else. It's just us. It's just me. I'm not bothering anybody else. I'm not doing anything to affect anybody else. When the very things that we do matter to other people, and they do affect others. We affect our friends. We affect our family. We affect our neighbors. Because people watch how we act. You know, this week, I had a tree cut down in my house. Had a little problem with this tree. It was affecting our neighbor. This tree's roots were growing into her garage and starting to bust up the concrete in her garage. So the beginning of the year, we said, spring comes around, we'll call a tree guy to come in and take the tree down. So we called, said, yeah, we can be out in a couple weeks. And in a couple weeks, kept turning into later and later and later. And finally, I kept going to my neighbor and saying, "Listen, I'm sorry. I just called him again. He said he'll be out on this date." He kept saying there's storm damage and it was taking him longer to get to us. And he goes, I apologize. And finally, one day, I walked over and said, listen, I'm calling another tree guy because me coming over here and saying this every time makes it sound like I'm a liar. And I don't want you to think that. I don't want you to think that I'm a liar. And then it was like the tree guy's ears were burning because he called me that night and came out 2 days later and cut the tree down. And she said, you know, I know you're not a liar because I know who you are. And I said, really? I'd never told her what I did, what I do. And she says, I know who you are. And you know how I know who you are? How do you know who I am? Ed Neiswanger. I said, you know Ed. You knew Ed. She goes, yeah, I knew Ed and Pam. She goes, I checked you out. I know who you are. I said, really? You better believe our actions make a difference. People see how we live. People see how we act. They pay attention. She said, I know you're a pretty good guy. I knew you weren't going to cheat me. It is so important how we live and how we act and how we display Christ to the world. Because people are watching. People see us every day. They see how we act. And you can't tell me any different. Everything we do is important. And remember whose light we're shining. John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, being Jesus, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. Jesus is that true light, and because we are followers of Jesus, we should be allowing our lives to point straight to Him. Our lives should be a reflection of His light. That light they see is Christ. It should be His light that they see. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You shine the light, and who gets the glory? God. God gets the glory because it's His light that we're reflecting, that we're showing. Don't hide the light. Don't hide it. Don't be afraid to share it. Because if we're not living in a way that reflects Jesus' light, then what are people going to say? Nothing. Because we'll look like everybody else. We won't look any different. We'll look the same. Why would somebody want to come to Jesus if all they see is us? Why would they want to come to Jesus if they see us and we don't live any differently than anybody else? When you display Christ, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. I was laughing the other day. Yesterday, I come home from the funeral home, changed clothes. I was thinking about mowing, and I decided I'd wait until today because it's cooler outside. But I put on my clothes, and one of the clothes I put on was an old T-shirt that we had made in when I was a youth minister, and it was for the youth band. It has a cross on it, 3 days grace. And I looked at Ashley and said, why is this in my work clothes? And she goes, there must be a hole in it or something why we put it in there. So I left the shirt on, and I went and ran some errands. And I walked into a store, and the lady behind the counter goes, I love your shirt. Where'd you get that shirt at? I come home and said, somebody noticed my shirt. Somebody noticed the shirt I had on. Well, yes, that's a shirt. But you know what they're going to see even more? How we act. how we live. I'm going to put Julie on the spot. She told a story in Sunday school. She said that she's putting her head down like, oh no, he's going to use this. He's going to share this. She said something in Sunday school. She said when she worked at the bank, had noticed something different about her. She didn't swear. She didn't do things the ways you shouldn't talk. And who was it that came in? Bill. Bill came in, and somebody had asked, well, how did Bill know her? And he goes, well, she goes to the church I go to. And the lady said, I knew there was something different about her. But isn't that how it should be? I knew there was something different about her. We should be different. We shouldn't be like the world. We got a light to shine. We've got a light to show. So we got to not look like everybody else who's just looking out for themselves, like King Jeroboam, who's just looking out for himself. We must be willing in the way we live to influence others. I love the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. It can be seen from miles away, whether it is a fortified burg or a stronghold or a tottering ruin. This city set on a hill, the Israelites would instinctively think of Jerusalem on high, is the disciple community. Now they must be what they really are. Otherwise, they are not followers of Jesus. The followers are a visible community. Their discipleship, visible in action, which lifts them out of the world. Otherwise, it would not be discipleship. And of course, the following is a visible to the world as a light in the darkness or a mountain rising from a plain. That's what it's going to be like. If we're following Christ, if we're living for Him, if we're excited for Him, it's like we're the light in a dark room. We're going to stand out. Do we do that when we go out? Do we act that way? Do we catch ourselves acting like the world? So we got to put ourselves out there. Let that light shine bright. Let our lives reflect Jesus. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, it says these words, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We got an opportunity. We have two choices. We can be greedy and take advantage of it just for ourselves and get some momentary, instant, personal gain. Or we can influence for God and that gain be eternal. Which is it? For King Jeroboam, it was instant gain. He wanted that kingdom now. He wanted he wanted that wealth. He wanted everything now. And it cost him. In chapter 13 of 1 Kings, we read a story. It continues the story of Jeroboam and something that happens to him. If you want to open your Bibles back up from there, we're going to read the first six verses. The Lord sent a man of God to come and speak to him. And listen to what happens here. Verses 1 through 6. By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. O altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places, who now make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. The same day the man of God gave a sign. This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart, and the ashes on it will be poured out. When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" But the hand he stretched out towards the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, "Intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored." So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. You notice some interesting words there. Intercede with the Lord, your God. His God was greed. That's who he worshiped. It was greed. It was power. He asked this man of God, "Intercede with the Lord, your God, and restore my hand." That hand I stuck out there, and God said, "Nope, you're not doing it." See, Jeroboam may have got an instant gain, but in the end, it cost him. It cost him dearly. And you would think after all this, after seeing the power of God work, he would change. He would turn into a good king. No. If you look down in verses 33 and 34, I'll have those up here. It says, "Even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways, but once more appointed priests for the high places from all sorts of people. Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated for the high places. This was the sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall and to its destruction from the face of the earth." His heart did not change. And that is the point I'm trying to say, is the influencer was one who was the man of God tried to influence. There's people that we're going to be influencers around who's not going to accept that. Who's not going to want it. They don't care. They want what they want. It doesn't mean we stop being influencers. It doesn't mean we stop. We still show them the love of God. We still show them Jesus. We share with them Jesus. Some people just aren't going to listen. They're just not. Some people are, like we say, stubborn. That's King Jeroboam. He was stubborn. All he saw was greed. That's why he stuck his hand out, because he was going to lose money. He was going to lose power. He didn't care about those altars. He didn't care about any of that. He did it just so he gained money. And then when this man of God came in and said, "Nuh-uh, this isn't happening," he was afraid he's going to lose everything. And in the end, he did. But we cannot stop being influencers. We cannot stop. Hey, we may only influence one or two people. We may be around people where we influence 30 or 40s. 100. There's some people out there who have such a wide range of influence. Thousands and thousands of people. It doesn't matter. We use our gifts. Remember the story Jesus told? The gifts, 5, 3, and 1. They each had 5 gifts, 5 talents, 3 talents, 1 talent. The 5 used his, the 3 used his, the 1 didn't use his, and God said, "What are you doing?" We may not influence a lot of people, but God still wants us to influence. Shine Christ's light. Doesn't matter if it's 1 or 1,000,000. Shine your light. King Jeroboam's heart did not change. He didn't influence right. Don't do as he did. Don't do as he did. We got to watch how we influence. The Apostle Paul set a great example in 1 Thessalonians. Let me read the words here he wrote. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. And you become imitators of us and of the Lord, and you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Paul's message is the same as we all should hear. Turn from idols to serve God. And trust in Jesus. Trust in his resurrected and ascended Son, Jesus, for deliverance. Don't be focused on yourself. To be influencers, we must be reflecting Jesus. We must be reflecting God. Show Christ in your life. And Paul's influence, well, Paul was extraordinary. People saw Paul. They saw God working through him, and they imitated him. Even though they might have been going through hard times, they still trusted in what Paul was saying. And who was Paul reflecting? God. So in the end, they were reflecting God. Paul knew what was at stake, and he made sure his influence was positive for God. And this held a deep impact. So how did he do it? How did he influence? The same way we should all influence. My second point this morning, with hope and humility. Influence with hope and humility. Humility, one could say it as that we care more about others than ourselves. Now, if you look at our society today, that is the exact opposite. People in society today care more about themselves than anybody else. But if we have that humility, we're honest with ourselves about our need of grace, that we're not perfect, that we can't earn heaven, that we need Jesus and we need the grace God gives us. And with that humility, it also means that we care about our neighbor and we don't trample over them getting to whatever next thing we want. Whatever success or personal fulfillment, that humility means we stop and care. And we show them Jesus' love. Here's Paul's humility on display. 1 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. It's not about ourselves. It's not about ourselves. Having that humility means we love God and he's in charge. And we love and care about our neighbor. And then there's hope. And then there's hope. It's believing that God is at work through Christ. So anything can change for the better. Do we have hope? It seems like we're at a time when hope is not there. It's not there for a lot of people. Maybe because of a job loss. Maybe because of death in the family. Maybe because of hurt feelings among friends or neighbors or family. It seems like people have a hard time with hope. We have hope. As believers, we have hope. Because no matter how bad it is here, we got Jesus. It doesn't matter what the world throws at us. Jesus is bigger. He's stronger. He's greater. But that means when we live, if we have that hope and we're dealing with others, maybe when we're being an influence, we show patience instead of anger. We show patience instead of frustration. We don't complain about everything going on in the world. We don't complain about everything that's wrong with everybody in every situation. Instead, we're thanking God for the hope we have. It means being honest with ourselves. It means being honest with ourselves about the situations we're dealing with. And we're still remaining confident in God that the best will come out of every situation. We want to be an influence? We do those things. We show people Jesus' love. How many times in Jesus' ministry, when he had situations, bad situations come up, could Jesus have just said, forget it, this is too much. I'm just walking away. Every bad situation that came up, Jesus found the best opportunity in it. The best way to share him, to share the Father through that situation. And some people didn't like it. Some people hated it. But Jesus shared the truth in love. Here's what Paul said. 1 Thessalonians 3. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. When we look at King Jeroboam, we don't see that. We see a guy who's greedy. We see a guy who's just worried about himself. When every situation comes up, he panics and he's worried. And he's scheming, trying to deceive and lie to keep what he has. So you know this guy has to be paranoid, always worried about himself and what may happen to him. And you read what Paul wrote. You see just the opposite. A guy who's not focused on himself but worried about others. A guy who knows there may be hard times coming, but he has hope in God and he has confidence and he's trusting God will lead him through every situation. Don't be like King Jeroboam. He influenced many people for the bad and hurt many, many people. We have a choice. Be influencers for God, for Jesus. Jesus is that perfect embodiment of hope. That's what he gave us. He lived the perfect life. Every day was a sacrifice. And then he gave himself up to die on a cross for our sins so that one day we could rejoice with him for eternity. There's nothing better than that. There is nothing better than that. And now it's our job to share that love, that grace, that humility, that peace that we can find through Jesus Christ. Today, God wants you to have that. If you don't have that today, He wants you to have it. And you can come today and receive that gift of grace. You come forward and stand in front of this body of believers and just say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I thought I could do it my way. My way is wrong. God's way is right. And we show that in our actions by starting to repent. Quit saying, my way didn't work. I'm going to start doing it God's way. We confess Jesus as Lord. And we get rid of that old life. We bury it. We bury it and start new through baptism. You can do that today. You can do that today. Come forward and give your life to Christ. Give that peace and hope that He offers. Won't you do that today as we stand and sing a song of invitation?